This is Line Break, where we deconstruct poetry written by young writers and discuss the inspiration and intention behind their poems. Take a pause and enjoy the line breaks. Here's episode 45, where I talk with Liba Sleed about her poem, Goldfinch. I hope you enjoy.
I once went on Young Writers Project, and this poem is called Goldfinch. Yesterday, a goldfinch on my heart fell in love. It fell in love with a stranger in the grocery store when he offered to help me pick out some apples and a batch of cinnamon cookies. It fell in love with the way he complained about the prices and the way he talked about Honeycrisp and Fuji apples and the way he explained how cinnamon was made. It fell in love with how he could make the most boring subject sound interesting, and how each word that came out of his mouth ignited a tiny flame in my heart, healing the past wounds that I couldn't inside for too long. It fell in love with how his hands gestured in the air and his imperfect smile, and the way his eyes seemed to sink into mine as we momentarily locked gazes. To him, it was just another careless glance, but to me, it was like my first shot of whiskey, the burning sensation warming my throat, pouring over my soul, drowning my heart. The fire ablaze as the world seemed to collapse just for the two of us. Yesterday, I fell in love with him. Yesterday, a goldfinch on my heart fell in love. I fell in love with a stranger on the subway that I only met by staring at the back of his head. I fell in love with his sweatshirt, a simple pearl gray like December's first frost. I fell in love not with his hazel hair, neat and tidy, but with how it looked as if he had brushed it a million times in the morning, insecure about how others would think he looked. I fell in love with the way he constantly adjusted his glasses and the way he leaned slightly on the cold silver subway pole. The train stopped and he walked out of reach, and I watched the pale gray sweatshirt move farther, farther away. The goldfinch on my heart wanted me to tell him that I loved him, but I pushed it down and said, not today, another day. But yesterday I fell in love with him. Yesterday, a goldfinch on my heart fell in love. It fell in love with an invisible stranger, and we leaned against each other and walked into the setting sun, hand in hand. Today, I pour tears and rum over my heart and whisper to the goldfinch silently, telling it to go away and that I can't afford to fall in love again.
Oh, thank you so much. What was your inspiration for this poem?
I guess one of the feelings I want to express is not falling in love with the person, but more like falling in love with love and the empty feeling of heartbreak, because the same thing, I guess, can mean so much to one person, but to someone else, it's just another day. And your best memory, the one that warmed you and made you feel loved, and the one that you treasured the most, isn't even a memory to the other person. And I guess it's also that empty feeling you have when you miss something that wasn't even there in the first place, and you feel devastated and helpless and desperate to cling onto someone when you don't even know who you are. So I guess it's kind of a coping or defense mechanism. And another thing is to portray love over the tiny things. Love doesn't really have to be a grand act. You can fall in love with anyone. I don't really know if that makes sense.
Yeah, that did make sense. I think it's definitely a relatable thing, that feeling of falling in love with love itself, and not really a specific person, because, you meet eyes with someone in the subway or in a grocery store and you're like, they're my soulmate. And then, but you don't know anything about them. All you know is what you just, how you see them, that doesn't really say anything about who they are. So it's falling in love with the idea. I definitely relate to that. I romanticize a lot of things in my life and kind of see them as prettier or more romantic than they actually are. When in reality, like you said, the other person didn't even notice it was a moment. like you said, the narrator meets eyes with the stranger in the grocery store, and each word that came out of his mouth ignited a tiny flame in my heart, healing the past wounds that I've hidden inside for too long. But for the stranger, it's just another careless glance, you know, it doesn't really mean that much to them. It's very one-sided.
I'm glad that you can like relate to that and understand that.
Yeah, and I actually think that like falling in love with people in grocery stores has become a kind of theme on Line Break, because two other episodes were about people falling in love in grocery stores. So I think this is just a recurring thing. Everyone experiences it. It's totally normal. So another line, it was like my first shot of whiskey, the burning sensation warming my throat, pouring over my soul, drowning my heart. I love this, that like a really strong feeling, like intense feeling of falling in love hits you and you're like, whoa, what just happened to me?
Yeah, like that. Also, in another way, is like some people, they use whiskey as like more like a coping mechanism for other things. And I guess I kind of wanted to portray that feeling, like that helpless feeling when you're turning to that. And it's also like that really like strong feeling.
Yeah, like this thing, it could save me, but I doubt that it will, but I'm going to try anyway.
Yeah.
So some more lines. This other stranger in the subway, the goldfinch, fell in love with the way he constantly adjusted his glasses and the way he leaned slightly on the cold, silvery subway pole. And like at this point in the poem, I was starting to imagine it as a movie and like all these realistic details kind of bringing this image to life.
Yeah, for that, I kind of focused on like the really tiny things that make the person like more human.
Yeah, I think that the tiny details are so important in writing because it really makes a difference between like a character and a character, you know, like really being able to imagine them as actual people and connecting with them more, which just makes every story better when you can connect with the characters. So another line, the goldfinch on my heart wanted me to tell him that I loved him, but I pushed it down and said, not today, another day. But yesterday I fell in love with him. This is interesting to me that it's kind of like, I interpreted it as like defying the urge to approach someone and not giving into that want to like, you know, say hi, hey, how are you? Because of like a fear of rejection or a fear of not, you know, meeting their standards or that kind of thing.
Yeah, it's kind of like that moment where you meet someone and you think about like all the possibilities, like all the different things you could have said to make something go that way, and like sometimes it just doesn't happen.
Yeah, we were just talking about this on another podcast episode about how, you know, when you see someone, you kind of want to go up to them and talk, but all these different conversations are running through your head and you're like, what would happen though if I went up? What if it goes terribly wrong? And that kind of holds you back from meeting new people or going up to strangers and that kind of thing. So your ending, today I pour tears and rum over my heart and whisper to the goldfinch silently, telling it to go away and that I can't afford to fall in love again. What was your inspiration for this ending?
I guess it's just that every time, like this character, every time she falls in love, she kind of gets her heart broken over it. And because like every time she falls in love, but the other person goes away and she's like getting her heart broken over something that never really existed. And there's that empty feeling to that, and that feeling of like loneliness and also being helpless and just that feeling. And it hurts a lot. And I guess I wanted to show like the part that she can't really afford to fall in love again, because it's like a defense mechanism.
Yeah, I really liked how you explained it, that like her heart is broken over something that she never had, you know.
Yeah,
like she's going through grief and mourning something that wasn't ever hers to begin with, which I think is really interesting. So some more questions. How did you first become interested in writing?
I guess I first became interested in writing because when I was small, I read something and I kind of wanted to write like my own thoughts on them. Like when something happens, I just kind of like to write it down and process it. And I think writing is just really amazing because you get to go into like this world that you created, kind of.
Yeah, like you can escape from your world and go into a completely different one.
Yeah.
So what draws you to poetry in particular?
I think I like poetry because it's like some things can be really subtle in poetry. Like in poetry, there doesn't really have to be complete sentences. You can like hide meaning in things. And it can be just like, on the outside, it can look really plain and simple, but inside it can have like a lot of layers and that kind of stuff.
Yeah, a lot of hidden meanings that it's kind of up to the reader to put together. I think it's really interesting how poetry allows you to add a lot of meanings and a lot of layers to your writing. And, you know, how you can say a lot with very little.
Yeah, like that, yeah.
So how did you discover YWP and what role does it play in your life?
I honestly don't really know. I think another like writing website suggested it. YWP, it's like a world where I can just forget about everything else, go deeper into like the writing and the people there. And it's like a place where I can just like put my thoughts and read other people, and it like connects people as a community, I guess.
A lot of people say that they really like YWP because of that community feel. Most of us are from Vermont or New England, but it's been nice to see people who are from the West Coast, or some of them are even international. So it's really interesting to have people from all over the world, pretty much. So what books and authors have shaped you as a writer and a human being?
I guess The Little Prince really had a big impact on me, because like The Little Prince and like the allegories in there and just like the story that The Little Prince goes through.
Mm-hmm. I haven't ever read The Little Prince, actually, but at least one of my friends is really into it. And it reminded me that I actually saw this really cool thing. I think it was on Etsy. There are these wallets like that you put credit cards or money or whatever into. And they're made to look like old books. And one of them was a copy of The Little Prince. And it was so cute and I loved it. Anyway, that's what it reminded me of. I love like little bookish things like that. They make me so happy. But yeah, I think a lot of the classics were really influential for me as a young individual, like The Wizard of Oz, I read with my dad, Alice in Wonderland, a lot of fairy tales. I read a lot of fairy tales when I was younger, and I think that it might not appear like it's a part of my writing now, but it definitely is in the back of my head, like that fairy tale kind of element, which I think is cool.
So do you like to read a lot of classics?
I don't read that many now. I really want to get into them, but I mean, I just haven't had a lot of time to read lately, but I'm looking at my bookshelf. I own Wuthering Heights, which I really want to read, and Pride and Prejudice, which I really want to read. So, but they're both really pretty copies, and I feel like I love collecting pretty books, but I never want to actually open them and read them, which is a problem. I want to get through those. I also have a super old copy of War and Peace. And my friend actually recently read War and Peace, which is like, whoa, incredible. So she inspired me to read my own copy of it. And Oh, I love 1984, but that is kind of like a later classic. But anyway, that's my whole side topic about old books, my tangent. Do you read a lot of classic books, or like what kind of genre do you like?
I guess I like books from various different genres. I like The Little Prince. I also like The Giver or Gone with the Wind. I like those books too.
Ooh, I watched Gone with the Wind for, I think, my history class 1 year. It was like 8 or 9 hours. I didn't watch it in one sitting, but yeah, what a movie. I have a lot of issues with books that were turned into movies because if I watch the movie, I'm not going to read the book because I feel like, or like if I read the book, I'm not going to watch the movie because I feel like I'm going to be comparing them and I'm going to be like, that's not how it was in the book and they got it all wrong.
Yeah.
That's one of my pet peeves. Like, I really liked Paper Towns by John Green. It's a great book, but the movie was awful. And then I just stopped liking the book anymore.
Yeah, I get that. That happens a lot to me too.
Like, I'm never going to watch The Fault in Our Stars, another John Green book that I love, because I love it so much and I wouldn't want the movie to ruin it. So some other questions, another book related question, actually. What was the last book that really affected you emotionally?
I guess it was The Little Prince. The Little Prince and his encounter with the fox. There's this one chapter where he encounters a fox and the fox like teaches him, the fox tells him like the quote, it goes something like, what is essential is invisible to the eye, or something like that. And that's like one of the classic quotes he says. But I also really like the part where the fox, like, he talks about the little prince, about like his rose that he left on the planet, and also like the little prince, his encounter with the lamplighter. I really like those parts.
Yeah, one of the most recent books that I read was The Song of Achilles by Madeline Miller. I love Madeline Miller. I'm a stan. I think she's great. Everyone said that the ending of the book would make me cry, or like, not everyone, but you know, book reviews said that it made them cry. So I was expecting it to be really sad, and it was sad, but at the same time I could kind of see it coming. It was just an incredible book. I loved it. Please read it. But yeah, that one really like hit me because I was like, this is, you know, emotional. It's not making me cry, but it is emotional. And it's kind of like, I was really invested in the characters after this long journey that they had been through, like internally and physically.
Yeah.
So then at that point I was like, no, I don't want to lose any of them. So how do you want to continue your writing in the future?
I'm not really good at thinking ahead, but I guess I'll just keep on writing. Yeah. I don't really know what plans I have with it. It's just something like to do for fun or to take my mind off stuff, I guess.
I have a few more questions. I've actually been having a hard time, or somewhat of a difficult time, writing because I feel like every poem I write kind of has the same overall theme, but just with like different words. So what advice do you have for me to find new inspiration or to kind of steer away from the same theme?
I guess my advice for new inspiration, I don't know if this is going to make a lot of sense, but I guess try to write for yourself. Try not to like write for other people. And try to write for yourself because it's something that you like to do and it's something that like you can connect with. And I honestly think it's okay if you have a lot of different poems with the same theme, as long as like they mean a lot to you.
I think that's great advice. I kind of do get caught up in that, or not caught up, but like I do think about like, what are people going to think if I keep posting the same theme poem? Like, every poem I write is about growing up or the future, like getting older. And I'm like, well, are people even gonna like this? Or like, if I share this with someone, are they just gonna be like, didn't I just read a poem like this? And I don't like doing that to myself, because I do want to enjoy my writing and I want it to be for me instead of like what I think other people would like it to be. Because yeah. I love it and it's not, you know, something I have to beat myself up over, but I still do kind of have those thoughts. And I think it can be difficult too, you know, if you're like a perfectionist like me. I talk about being a perfectionist all the time, but like wanting everything to be perfect, wanting it to just be right on my first try and not having to like start over or relearn or like, you know, scrap what I thought was a really good idea or poem.
Yeah, I get that too, because like sometimes when I'm writing something, like it never feels finished and I keep on like revising it, or sometimes I get too scared to start because I don't know if I'm gonna mess up.
Yeah, exactly. Like I want this to be really good and I don't want to ruin it by like starting to change it or whatever. So what is the best kind of writing advice that you've gotten, to stay on the topic of advice?
Well, I don't really share my writing with other people, so I've never gotten like actual advice for writing. But I guess something that I always try to do is to write for myself, like not to other people's expectations or what I think other people will think about it. Write for yourself, and it doesn't have to be perfect. It doesn't have to be like a really professional poem where everything is perfect, as long as you think that it conveys what you want it to be, as long as you think it is what you want it to be like. I think that's good enough.
Yeah, the kind of the same thing, that just like write for yourself how you want it to be. Yeah. Don't really think about what other expectations might be. So how do you kind of find inspiration for your writing in particular, like on a daily basis? Or does inspiration come, you know, every month or very frequently, very rarely, that kind of thing?
It usually comes like kind of randomly. Like sometimes I don't have any inspiration or something like that for like months, and sometimes I just get inspiration to write something. I guess it's mainly just like what I'm thinking about and what's happening lately.
Yeah, like in your own life or in the world.
Yeah,
I don't think I really write a lot about things that are happening in my life, like specific experiences, but kind of just like feelings that I'm going through. But I do, I don't know, I think it all goes back to me like romanticizing everything, and like certain experiences I have, they always end up more poetic when I turn them into a poem than if I just tell the actual story. So it's like, you have to take every story I tell with a grain of salt, knowing that I probably made it a lot more poetic than it actually was. It probably comes from me reading so many YA books where the main character is just like perfect and aesthetic and everything.
Oh yeah, I get what you mean by that. Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for being on this podcast with me. Those are all of my questions.
Thank you.
This has been episode 45 of Line Break. I hope you enjoyed and stay tuned for episode 46. Bye!